Good afternoon, brethren, and welcome anybody who might be listening in, and welcome to the first holy day of the season, the first day of unleavened bread. Last night we had the night to be observed, and I think, or be much remembered, and I think after eating I'm much remembering it. Today we are observing the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The first of God's holy day and his plan for salvation for mankind. This was preceded night before last at sunset by the observance of Passover with the washing of feet, the partaking of the symbols of the wine and the bread, representing the blood and body of Jesus Christ. Then following this, he was betrayed and sat and crucified, dying so our sins might be forgiven, and raised on the third day so that we may be raised to eternal life in his kingdom. This is a time of reflection, to look into our own personal lives, to flesh out the sins that can so easily ensnare us on a daily basis. But if we're confused, let's just take a look back and see if you can find or remember a day you or I did not sin in deed or action. I'm not saying that it couldn't happen, but it probably won't. But most times, sin starts in the mind. If we can recognize it before it ripens, all the better. This is a constant battle. For part of today's message, I'll be paraphrasing from the UCG booklet, God's Holy Day Plan, the Promise of Hope for All Mankind. We have spent the previous few days, or even weeks maybe, removing leaven from our homes, from our cars, and from our workspaces, if we have a workspace, the best that we can. But rest assured, it's not all gone. We can look back to see how we're doing compared to this time last year, or a month ago. And we should expect to see some great strides in our conversion. But there's still more to do to become that mature, perfect being God's looking for. Just as dust and crumbs we find under the couch cushions, in the microwave, or in the toaster, at first glance, they may not even be noticeable. Look again, you'll find some. So goes our sins. If not repented of, they just simply multiply and multiply to the point of consuming our whole being. Just the same as a small amount of leaven will eventually permeate a whole lump of dough. Look at a piece of dough, and you may just see this gooey mess. How many in here actually bake? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. See this gooey mess of flour and water. Underneath the layer of dough, the leaven is going through a chemical change that will cause the dough to rise, and it's not something just on the outside that you can just brush it off. You might brush a flour off if you rolled it in flour to roll it out. That's all you can do. It's under the crust, basically hidden out of sight. This is why sins are also like this, more than skin deep. It must be rooted out. These days, unleavened bread are all about coming out of the bondage of slavery, of sin. Just as the children of Israel were rescued from the slavery of Egypt, Egyptian bondage, though their rescue was physical in nature, our rescue from sin is spiritual. We must go through a spiritual change, just as leaven in the dough is not just skin deep and can be brushed off. Neither is sin just skin deep. though some sins are more obvious than others. We still must spiritually lift the cushions of our mind and vacuum out the wrong thoughts and the actions that are so pervasive in our lives. We cleaned our toasters. We cleaned our houses. We vacuumed the carpets, the car, cleaned out the vacuum cleaner, and dusted out the cupboards and the drawers, and swept our garages or carports. I got caught this morning. You think you got to have it all done, right? I cleaned out everything really good. I emptied that vacuum cleaner, and I washed it, cleaned it, and everything. I had breakfast this morning, and I went in to throw something away. Oh, and to make coffee. I went to throw the filter of the coffee in the garbage can, and guess what? I hadn't taken out the garbage can. It's still sitting there full of garbage. So, like I said, it's very pervasive, and it's going to catch you, you know. Well, last Thursday evening at sundown, we had our feet washed. We washed someone else's, those who were at Passover. Drank a little wine, this is very simplistic, of course. Ate a little piece of dry, unleavened bread, this commemorating the Passover. When the ancient Israelites were freed or forced out of Egypt, they took with them unleavened cakes of bread because they did not have time for the yeast to develop, make leaven. We had unleavened cakes and stuff here yesterday, you know. But I think ours is going to be better than what they had, you know. We prepared for it. But when we come up out of the water at baptism, at that very split second, we are without sin, without leaven. Just for that one very split second, and it don't last long. But rest assured, that leaven of sin will find us and re-leaven us, if you will. Remember, the leaven of sin won't just go away. It's something we must boldly face and fight every day of our lives. Our first understanding of unleavened bread is from the history of the ancient Israelites coming out of captivity and bondage from Egypt. And the instructions from God to Moses in the Old Testament, these days were called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Leviticus 23:6. You don't need to turn there. And in the New Testament, Acts 12:3, the Days of Unleavened Bread. It's a moot point, but it's just called different things. It's the same feast. God instructed the ancient Israelites, "So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." Not something that was done away with at the New Testament. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. The first day you shall remove, or have removed, leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the 7th day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another one on the 7th day. Do no work on these days, except to prepare food for everyone to eat, is all that you may do. That's Exodus 12, verses 14 to 16, NIV. Each year, as the Israelites observed the feast, it reminded them of God's deliverance of their forefathers from Egypt. The Creator instructed, celebrate and be rejoiced in that Feast of Unleavened Bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions or your armies out of Egypt. The Exodus from Egypt remains a foundational reason for the observing of the feast today. Just as God delivered ancient Israel from Egypt, He delivers us from our sins and difficulties. But let's notice Jesus Christ's teaching in the New Testament about leaven, which expands the meaning of this feast. During Christ's ministry, He performed 2 miracles in which a few fish and loaves of bread fed thousands of people. After one of these incidents, when his disciples had gone around the Sea of Galilee, they forgot to bring bread. So Jesus told them, "Watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Now, this remark in itself didn't make much sense to them. The disciples thought Jesus was referring to the lack of bread. But however, he was using the occasion to teach them by calling on the symbolism of leaven, what leaven meant. He asked them, "How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Then the disciples understood that he did not say beware of the leaven of bread, but the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, and that's something we in the church need to be aware of too. And many of us that have been in the church for a while have been through this, teaching the wrong teaching and coming to us. We have to be aware of that. If somebody's teaching something wrong, we need to step up to the plate and understand that. But beware of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And then the disciples understood that he did not say beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Some of the members of the religious establishment in Christ's day appeared to be righteous, yet they secretly practiced sinful behavior. Jesus let them know he knew their hearts, that they may appear righteous to other people, but inside is full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. We are to be searching the innermost parts of our thoughts and minds, ridding ourselves of all and any excess baggage that may be in the way separating us from God. Recently, I was encouraged or forced by circumstances beyond my means to make a move from a 3-bedroom apartment to a 1-bedroom apartment. This brought me to the realization I needed to go through box after box after box of things, closets of things, storage spaces, anywhere I could find and purge. Purge stuff that I had been carrying around and not of absolutely no value, in some cases for many years. So it goes with the boxes and the closets and the recesses of our minds, making sure we purge out anything that needs removed, such as wrong thoughts, wrong attitudes, and actions that may just have stayed around for, in some cases, for a long time, not even realizing it. We have habits sometimes that are not right that we just need to get rid of. We will all be surprised and shocked at what we might find. Just think about that as you're going through this week. You will do it today. You will do it tomorrow. Even for a lifetime. This process is called conversion. The days of unleavened bread follow immediately on the heels of Passover for a reason. Jesus Christ died at Passover and was then raised during the days of unleavened bread as a reminder of what he said he would do. He would die, and he would be buried in the earth for 3 days and 3 nights, and be raised as proof of validity of his divinity. He died that our sins could be forgiven, and was raised that we will also be resurrected at his return to eternal life, which he has already attained. This is the proof of what he told the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew 12, verses 38 through 40, if you want to turn there. He told them what was about to happen when they asked for a sign. Matthew 12, 38 says, "Then some of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' But he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign, and no sign will be given, except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Later, Paul and 1 Corinthians taught the same spiritual lessons to the Corinthian congregation, reprimanding them that for their divisions and jealousies and tolerance of sexual misconduct, Paul wrote, "Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened." Once we're baptized and we become unleavened with Christ's Holy Spirit in us, but we don't want to allow that leaven back into our lives. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, but with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Even though the Corinthians were undoubtedly keeping the physical aspect of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Paul was using the occasion to give them the proper spiritual intent or understanding. Even today, by removing leaven from our homes for 7 days, we're reminded of the need, through prayer and God's help and understanding, we must recognize and get rid of and avoid sin of any kind. We need to meditate on our attitudes and our conduct and ask God to help us recognize and overcome our shortcomings. This is a constant thing every day, but it doesn't end here. When we are called by God through Jesus Christ, we are led to repentance, followed by baptism, representing being buried with Christ, burying the old man, being raised in newness of life as a new creation with Jesus Christ living in us. Then begins our journey of conversion with the help of God's Holy Spirit, which is represented with God's next holy day plan, the salvation, the Pentecost. God has a plan that starts out small, and it grows and grows eventually to the kingdom of God. Sin, leaven, is like the seeds of a dandelion. The flower is pretty to look at, and actually is part of it is edible. But you don't want it all over your yard. You must continually remove it. Remove them in order to keep more from growing, like a run-down neighborhood where nobody cares. When somebody moves in and keeps an immaculate home in the yard, will for the most part not have any effect. Give me a second here. And as somebody moves in, it keeps an immaculate home and yard, for the most part, not change anything. Because someone who doesn't care, they won't change. But if you come in and you take care of things, and nobody else is taking care of it, you'll find that eventually other people, well, why should I bother, you know, cutting my grass or pulling the weeds, because nobody else cares. Eventually, that neighborhood will just run down, except for maybe that one person, you know, one family. So, in a matter of time, they'll be parking on their cars in the lawn and letting the weeds grow, and it becomes like the one where nobody cared except for the one. Well, let's be like the one and not allow the leaven to take us over. Sin starts out like a small spore of leaven through the thoughts that are transmitted to us by Satan through the power of the air, to the point that it will, if unchecked, take over our whole being. Through the influence of Satan, the one who deceives the whole world, Revelation 12:9, the prince of the power of the air, would not have been made a lot of sense to most people before the invent of radio frequency, or invent of radio that uses frequency, ways to transmit messages that came into being. Now that we are aware and sometimes too in tune of this mode of messaging, it makes total sense. Matthew 11:31-33. Verse 31 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which if a man took and sowed into his field, which indeed is the least of the seeds, but when it is grown is greater than the herbs, and becomes like a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." Another parable he spoke says, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid 3 measures of meal until it was all leavened." The leaven of sin also starts out small. It can and it will grow. Garbage in, garbage out, so to speak. In other words, sin in, sin out. In a play of words, what we sow, that we reap. Put another way, when we act upon those thoughts that have been sown in our minds by Satan, sin is produced and reaped. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is a reminder that we need to be constantly vigilant in nipping in bud the pervasive thoughts before they are acted upon and become full-blown sins. If you have a thought come in your mind and you realize that's where it's headed, just get rid of it, you know. Satan, get behind me, you know. I don't want you in my life at all. Today, removing leaven from our homes and lives for 7 days reminds us that we too, through prayer and God's help and understanding, must recognize and expel and avoid sin. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is thus a time of personal reflection. We should meditate on our attitudes and conduct and ask God to help us recognize and overcome our shortcomings. These 7 days of self-examination prove invaluable in helping us to devote our lives to God and Jesus Christ. This week-long period also pictures our eventual triumph over sin. As God delivered ancient Israelites out of slavery from Egypt, so he also delivers us from the enslavement to sin. How do we rid ourselves of sin in our lives? First, we must know what sin is. Sin is a transgression of the law. They say, if it were not for the law, we wouldn't know what sin is. If we're driving through a town and there are no laws, like for speed limits or whatever, we don't know what it is. We do because we have it all the time. But so if somebody that came here didn't know, and they're traveling down Main Street at 70 miles an hour instead of 35, like it should be, because there is no law to tell them how to act. We learn by doing. We learn spiritual lessons by doing physical things. A friend of ours used to be so overwhelmed by de-leavening their home, she was actually made her ill, taking away from the spiritual intent that was supposed to be. If this happens to you, ever happens to you, or did this year, if it happens to you next time, take a break. Reflect or meditate on the spiritual endgame. Why are you doing it? And the intended purpose, and not the physical drudgery. As you find it, the leaven in your home, just think, this more and more, this pile's getting just a little bigger and bigger, How much more can I make it, Just take it as a challenge, but not as a drudgery, because it becomes a drudgery, you get angry about it. It doesn't do you any good. It just takes away from what you're learning. Performing the task of de-leavening our homes reminds us to vigilantly watch for the sinful thoughts and actions we can avoid them. God knows that in spite of all our good intentions, guess what? We're going to sin. But it's still not over. Paul said years later in Romans 7, verses 21 to 25, if you want to turn there. It says, "I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good." In other words, we want to do good. "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into the captivity of sin, which is my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now, that can be so true to us, you know. Our mind is telling us we want to obey God, you know. But our physical weaknesses don't always allow us to do that. We succumb to our physical man, if you will, you know. Our observance of the days of unleavened bread help us to realize our need for Jesus Christ's help and overcoming our weaknesses. Yet it is a time to rejoice, knowing Christ freely gives us the help we need. We just have to ask. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed for the forgiveness of our sins, thus de-leavening or cleansing our lives, helping us to live obediently through God's Spirit dwelling in us. We have to ask God for more Spirit at times, just to give us the strength and power to overcome our sins. Yes, this next 7 days, we have a time of reflection, an examination to help us become more like our older brother and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just maybe we need a little extra help this year, as we did last year. But you see, even though the days of unleavened bread are over at sunset next Friday, and we can eat real, rather unleavened bread, right? But we don't want to do it too fast, because remember, it'll be going into a Sabbath. Another 24-hour time. This is a brain teaser, by the way. You can't bake bread or make bread, because you shouldn't have any yeast, because you can't buy it yet. So hope none of us throw out all the unleavened bread. Just think about it. You may need to eat it. But I asked earlier, how do we rid ourselves of sin in our lives? One point in final scripture. When asking for God's help, remember, God really makes things simple if we pay attention. We have the outline of the Ten Commandments. He makes it very simple there, if we just follow it. What's he say in Matthew 6:33? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That's very, very simple. That's just right down to the point of what we need to do. We do this one day at a time, and keep this comforting thought that, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things, sufficient for the days of its own trouble. Yes, we take care of our sins for today, because we know tomorrow we'll most likely have more, and we'll have to take care of those. We don't worry about those sins for tomorrow. We take care of the ones today so we can concentrate on those tomorrow. There will be other sins to flesh out, but we may keep practicing until we get it right with Jesus Christ working in us. Excuse me. Yes, we can do this. I find that in order for me to get on the righteousness track, as I call it, if you will, I need to start my day with prayer. Not everybody starts out that way, but it's an individual thing. This is just the way I do it. I sometimes do this even before I get out of bed in the morning. This doesn't always happen. It's not long before I realize I didn't talk to God today. But we need to talk to God every day. How do we seek God? Through talking to Him, communicating, studying His Word, the Bible, and putting into physical practice what we have learned. Remember, we can learn spiritual lessons by doing physical things. Seek and you shall find. May God bless you and search you as you call upon Him to show you and I our sins and cleanse us from all our iniquities, so we can become more like Him, Remember, it's not over till it's over. And we've just begun. Keep searching and keep purging. Seek in the recesses of your mind and pull out those cushions, you know, those closets, and find the sin and get rid of it. And become unleavened. And pray, your kingdom come, your will be done.